Mel Brooks had the 15, 10, 10 commandments in the film. Did you see History of the World Part 1? Anyone? A few? Sometimes it takes a bit of comedy to draw attention to something really important. And other times it takes a little controversial re-imaging, or reimagining at least. 10 years ago, the United Church of Christ published a controversial reimagining of the Ten Commandments. And it was called God is Still Speaking Through the Ten C's. It was very controversial. As a matter of fact, you can't find it on the website anymore, but okay, I still had a copy of it, and I want to share with you a few of them. Here's three. Slightly updated, it's 10 years later, and I imagine that these will elicit some kind of response from you. Our culture thinks you shall not make for yourself an idol except for Beyonce, Starbucks, Xbox 360, the American flag, the Bible, and Wall Street. Maybe God thinks you shall not worship the idol of individualism that leads to the American dream of success only for some of God's people, or your granite display of the Ten Commandments. Our culture thinks, or believes, that you shall not covet your neighbor's property unless your neighbor's crib is bigger than yours or has more toys and bling bling. Note, neighbor includes other countries and planets. Perhaps God says, you shall not covet another culture's land or tax benefits obtained on the backs of the poor or global trade advantages, water, air, women, or immigrants as personal property. They did not hold back on what they thought here. Our culture maintains you shall not kill unless you are one of the states where the death penalty look different, talk different, think different, or you're trying to off the ones you classify as terrorists. Note, collateral damage, maimings, casualties, and the like are unavoidable, regrettable, justifiable, and patriotic. Probably, God says, you shall not kill, period, not by lethal injection, not by surgical airstrikes, or by endangering the lives of millions of Americans by trying to demonize health insurance or health-inspected food or denying access to life-saving meds. They got letters. Thought maybe I'll get letters today too. Those are just a few of them. And is everything that I said part of the Ten Commandments? No, it's not. It's reimagining. It's taking things beyond the scope, of course. But can a look at them open up discussions that go there? You really look deeply at the Ten Commandments? Can you go there? Well, sure. That's what, when we read the Bible, it's open to discussion, and I want us to engage it. And when we're uncomfortable with it, engage it more. So let's spend some time really looking at what the Ten Commandments are at their core. So here's, most people can't remember more than four. Anyone remember all ten, just like that? I can't even. Here's number one, no other gods before God, no other gods before me. Number two, no idols. Number three, no misusing God's name. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Number six, no murdering. Number seven, no committing adultery. Number eight, no stealing. Number nine, no lying. Number ten, no coveting, wanting something so bad that you planned how to steal it. So that's, at their core, at least the words that they are. And here's what they're really about. Now, I know that I'm putting my own opinion and spin onto this, but that's because I get to do that, and you get to agree or disagree, right? Here we go. No other gods before God is about power. No idols is about power and guilt. No misusing God's name is about honesty in oaths. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy is about rest. Honor your father and mother is about caring for your aging parents. No murdering is about not murdering. No committing adultery is about property. No stealing is also about property. No lying is about contracts and courts. And no coveting is again about property. There's a lot about property in the Ten Commandments. And let me explain a little bit more, because the Ten Commandments are a legal document. When Judge Roy Moore wanted to put the Ten Commandments in front of the courthouse, and he, you know, went so far as to get fired for doing that, and then he's elected again, he had a point that these are legal things, but they are religious legal things. They are not secular legal things, and he wanted to cross that line in there. And it's really funny that those granite slabs that are looked on as holy, and you must not touch them or move them, the first ones, and they've made some copies since then, but the first ones were made for the movie The Ten Commandments. And that they toured around the country, these giant granite or granite-like slabs, as marketing for the movie. Look at this giant, beautiful thing. Now go see our movie with Charlton Heston. So marketing turned to religion. Instead of religion turning, I don't know. Here's a little more about the Ten Commandments. No other gods before God, about power. Here's what it expresses. It expresses jealousy, possessiveness, and demand for your complete attention. That's what God asks for. And here's a big question. It's okay for God to be like this, but not people, right? Why is that? Can God be love and also be jealous and possessive and demand your complete attention? And then another question, is it even allowed to ask such questions? Because that's a big question about God, and it's uncomfortable to say. But really, we wouldn't allow that in any person. Anybody acted that way would say there's a problem here. No idols, about power and guilt. And it's completely connected to the first one. You have to be in awe of only me. If you look another way, you're awful. Don't you dare think about anyone but me. And then again, it's okay for God to be like this, but not for people. And what happens when we ask questions like that? No misusing God's name. It's about honesty in oaths. So we're moving a little bit away from the power and guilt. We got the first two that were in there. There's a little in this one, like don't swear in my name and then not live up to your promise. I will be mad. But overall, this one is about telling the truth when you swear an oath, like in court or like when you sign a contract. Here's what it's not about. We use it that way all the time, and it's become the way that we express this commandment. But it's not about using the word God as a sort of expletive. That may be something that we find offensive. It may be something that isn't really a nice thing to do. But this commandment isn't about saying that or using the name of God as, you know, the oh my God kind of thing. It's about it's about living up to your oath when you swear on God's name. Don't take that lightly. And remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy is about rest. This one's only slightly wrapped up in the do this because you honor me line, but this commandment is about taking a break. Rest, refresh. Don't work yourself to death. Rest and rejuvenate. It's just a good idea. 6 days you shall labor, on the seventh day you shall rest. Now, does it have to be Saturday or Sunday? You know what I do on Sundays? I work. I don't have Sabbath on Sundays. Do you think God is angry that I don't have Sabbath on Sundays? No, I got to work on Sundays. Other people have to work on Sundays in different fields. And we can say, oh, but a minister working on Sunday, that's okay. But another person working on Sunday, that's not okay. This commandment isn't about if you don't pick this day, you're in trouble. It's about take a break. You need a break. Honor your father and mother. About caring for aging parents. This is a commandment with a promise. And it's not about children obeying their parents. It isn't about little kids saying yes, mom, and yes, dad, when asked to clean their room. That's a good idea. And parents, you should expect that your kids will obey you. But the Ten Commandments don't express that. They express care for your aging parents. It's a commandment with a promise. I guess you could also say this is a commandment that expresses karma, not a Christian concept at all, but take care of your parents when they are aging and need your help. And that's exactly what you will get when you get older. That's what this commandment's about. It may be different now, and we have different ways of caring for our parents, and sometimes the parents are caring for the children up until they're in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. That's what that commandment's about, though, caring for your aging parents. No murdering. About no murdering. You know, don't take someone else's life away. So, is the Bible filled with examples of people doing just that and having it look as if God was behind it or God wanted it, making it good and necessary? Yes, that's in the Bible. And this commandment still holds. No murdering. Killing doesn't solve anything. It just leads to more killing. We haven't learned that yet, and I don't know when we're going to learn that, but that's the truth about killing. It doesn't lead to less killing. It leads to more. No committing adultery. I said it's about property. And then you get some raised eyebrows. Property? Wait, isn't this one about marriage and faithfulness? Well, yes, it is about marriage and faithfulness, except marriage was way different at the time of the Ten Commandments. Men could marry as many women as they could afford to support. Women could not. Men owned women as property. Women, property. So if a man wanted to sleep with a woman, all he needed to do was show that he could support her. And if a woman wanted to sleep with a man, she had to be married to him and only him. It's about property. That's what women were. And putting our more puritanical views about sexuality into what this commandment's about may seem to make sense, and it has made sense for a long time, but it's not what this commandment is about. It's about property and power, too. No, stealing makes more sense, because that is about property, and we can put it into today's kind of culture and look at it that way. It's overtly about property. Don't take what belongs to someone else. In this case, what belongs to another man, since women were the property. It's not necessarily about honesty. It's just not taking another dude's stuff. That's what this commandment's about. And then no lying. Contracts and courts. See, telling the truth. In the most specific sense, it's about telling the truth in contracts and in litigation. As in, don't tell a lie to try to get someone's, a dude's in this case, stuff, and then make it your own. It's closely related to number three, no misusing God's name. There's a question. Are the things that we call white lies included in this? Because that is what we have brought it out to mean. Is there such a thing as a white lie? By extension, it is. It's possible to include telling anything false or even withholding information that makes things look differently than they really are. But still, it's important to understand at its core, this commandment is about being truthful in business dealings. That's the base where it's at. I don't think anyone would ever fault someone for holding a baby, and they don't always come out looking, you know, great, right? And looking at the baby and saying, what a beautiful baby. When inside you're saying, oh my goodness, I hope that they get better looking, right? It wasn't the truth. Do you think God's mad about that? No, not on your life. No coveting. It's about property. Again. This one isn't about looking at someone else's stuff and wishing that you had it. Because people do that. They have done that. It's about looking at someone else's stuff and wishing you had it and then making a plan to swindle them out of it and then doing that. Keeping up with the Joneses may be a silly game that folks play, but it's not prohibited by this commandment. Looking at someone saying, wow, they've got a nice car, I'd like to have a car like that, and then going and buy that car, okay, that's fine. Looking at that car and then bringing action against them so that you get $30,000 from them and they have to give you their car? Yeah, that's what's prohibited here. So here they are, the Ten Commandments. I have chewed them up and explored different ways of understanding them. Now the question is, what do we do with that? It's not exactly the way you've heard them before. Not exactly different than the way we've heard them before. So are they easy to follow? Are they hard to follow? Are they timeless? Are they worth a continuing conversation? I think they're worth a continuing conversation. Let's talk about them a little more over the next weeks, months, years. You can listen to this sermon again and hear me say the stuff that made you comfortable and uncomfortable. And in a few weeks, I'm going to do another sermon called The Commandments. Those aren't the ten, they're the two. For now, let's remember these ten. Remember what's important about them. Remember that we can be uncomfortable with them. Remember we can question and discuss them. Let's remember the ten.